thank you for this afternoon. We thank you for your presence that we have come to today, for the increase that is coming into our lives by this entrance of your word. We ask, Lord, that you will give unto everybody listening today the spirit of understanding in the name of Jesus, and that I speaking, we speak expressly the word of God with insight, with clarity, that none of my own personal thoughts will come out, but only the will, the word of God for today, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, let me, let me just take a minute precisely to do that. Now, last week, we started speaking about this issue of the power of the Spirit, and what we emphasized, which I will just quickly summarize in 1 minute, is the fact that the spiritual realm controls the physical realm. That spiritual things are more important, definitely, than the physical things that we see. We explain that when things happen on the earth, and even though they appear like accidents, that what's happening really is that there's just an outplay of something that has happened in the spirit. We give two examples, beautiful examples from the lives of the kings of Israel. One, Saul, who the Bible says died because of the trespass that he committed against the Lord. He said the Lord killed him. But in reality, when we saw the process of his death, it was a tactical error in battle, possibly. But then he now committed suicide, having been injured. But we also noted the issue of Ahab, that Ahab was determined by God to die in that particular battle against the Syrians. But that despite the fact that he disguised himself to enter into the battle, when a Syrian soldier shot at random, it just shot at random, yet the arrow entered into the narrow gap within the armor of Ahab, and he died according to the word of God. Now, what I wanted to understand, what we explained then, is the fact that spiritual things are real, and as believers, that is what makes us believers, to have understanding. Paul said, by faith we understand that the worlds, that is the things that we see, were not made out of the things that are visible, but we understand that they were framed by the word of God. You understand the point I'm making there? So, we examined that at length, and I don't want us to spend much time examining that again today. But what one thing we closed with, which I want to repeat before, so that I can enter into today, is that if indeed the spiritual realm is more important, if indeed the spiritual realm controls the physical realm, that means that anybody that wants results in the physical realm should not strive to get them in the realm of the physical, but should strive to get the result where? In the spiritual realm. Because what will come about that you will call physical manifestations will only be manifestations of those things that have already taken place in the realm of the spirit. That is why Paul said, don't seek the things that are on the earth, but seek those things that are above, because you have died and your life is hid with Christ in God. That is, what is happening with your life that is hid with Christ in God will naturally be manifested upon this earth. Do you understand the point I'm trying to make? Now, so that's actually where we closed that in last week's meeting, and we should flow into today from there. Now, I remember, I don't know, did I say this, but I proposed in my heart, all right, that today we'll talk about how to generate power in the realm of the spirit. That is, we're talking about spiritual, the power of the spirit. Now, there was one point we made. Which I think I should reiterate on that point before, as I'm going on. And that is the fact that your presence, you know, I explained using physics, that if you put a magnet in a place and there are metals around, let's say iron nails, the magnet doesn't try, don't forget this, but because of the inherent magnetic quality inside it, it attracts the metals. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? That is, if you're a blessing magnet, yeah, that's a good one, and they put you into a place, any blessing that's around there, you understand, we flow towards. Now listen to this, it is not because you tried to call the blessings to be, but because you were there. Are you getting the point I'm trying to make? You know, my pastor in Lagos used to say that when an old man has lived and has discovered, that is, and he has been keenly examining life, he would discover the word of God. You understand my point? Now, if you examine life, you see those things. I was watching something on TV long ago, and one lady said that her mother called her a bomb magnet. That is, she magnetizes useless men. You understand? And it's not like a joke. But you know, when you are studying the Word of God, you start remembering things here and there that fit perfectly. Then suddenly it dawned on me that indeed, now that was a play, all right? But that's based again on truth. That is, this young woman, there is something about her that attracts wrong people. Are you getting my point? You know, some time ago, my wife was telling me something that happened to one person somewhere, a young woman in the church. And she left one church based on a lot of things that happened that involved sexual immorality, of course, pregnancy, and those and all that and all that. Okay. Then she got to another church. And this thing started, no, this was years after it began again. Do you understand? Eventually, one man left his wife to go and marry her. Now, when she was telling that, I just said that. Now, you see, you don't have to be told that this person has a magnetic quality that attracts certain things. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Now, the spiritual things are very real. Now, listen to this. They are very real, and people have inherent spiritual qualities within them that determine how other things around them react. Do you follow me? Now, there was something I said last time. Let me say it again. The magnet attracts metals, don't forget, but can also induce magnetism in other things. That is, if you rub a metal on top of a magnet, you take that piece of iron, touch another thing with it, it has tapped some of the magnetic quality somewhere. Now, it now starts, you understand, magnetizing other things. Now, spiritual things are like that also, but bear this in mind, which is also, again, in keeping with spiritual order. After some time, that piece of iron you used gets weak. Are you getting my point? It starts getting weak. Then if you want it to regain its magnetic quality, you take it back to the original magnet, and then you rub on it. Do you understand? Then it acquires some magnetism in itself again. But what I wanted to bear in mind here is this. Once you have a kind of characteristic inside you, it causes results spontaneously. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That is, it is not because you try to get results. It is because you have become that thing, and everywhere you go, you just get results. Are you understanding the point I'm making? Now, let's get that clear. So, but one thing I want you to understand is that spiritual, you see, physical things usually explain clearly spiritual things. But I have said this to us here before. There's always a small limitation. The Bible said like this. That those things, when they are shadows, not even exact images. That is, the difference between you and a piece of metal is that you have a willpower. You can decide what you want to become. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? That is, Paul will say that if any man purges himself of these things, he talks about vessels. Now, the vessels cannot decide what they want to be. Do you understand? But using vessels, you might be able to explain that people have different functions in life. But one vessel cannot decide what kind of vessel he will become. So that is the difference. But a man can decide what kind of vessel he's going to be. In the same manner, as a person, you can decide the kind of spiritual quality you want to carry, which will decide how spiritual forces around you react to you when you come in. Are you getting the point I'm trying to make? That is, if you go, if they tell you now, for example, maybe, you know, you tell people that witches dwell in a house. You understand my point? And you, as a child of God, you don't know, you don't care. They didn't tell you. You just come there to come and sleep. All the witches know that there's danger has come into sleep. They will just find level. Do you understand my point? Now, one of the mistakes we make is that we think that we have to pray before we enter the place. All witches here, vamos. No. The magnet doesn't say all nails respond to me. It just goes in. Are you getting the point I'm making? So that is the same way it is with spiritual things. Now, get this clear. Let's say very clearly again. You can generate within yourself spiritual power that causes positive results to flow towards you in life. Do you understand my point? There are a lot of people go around with negative spiritual things. I've explained to us before, there are people who they will pursue after breakthrough and blessing. Finally, just before they get it, the thing will elude them again. Do you understand my point? The reason being that, remember we said this last time, that if you have spiritual forces working towards you negatively, it can get to a point that is, it is possible, physically speaking, to labor in the flesh to overcome it. This is what the way I explained it. That God said to Adam, he said, The earth will no longer yield its increase for you. He now said, from the sweat of your brow you eat bread. That is, the earth was meant to yield bread for you. But from now on, the earth will not yield bread for you. But if you now want to eat bread, you have to strive physically to overcome the negative influence that the earth has become. Do you understand what I'm trying to say there? Now, but then, we examined all those things in detail last time. Let me be careful so I don't go repeat everything we said last time. What I want to go on to talk about today is this issue of generating spiritual power. Now, as I go on, I will make certain statements which will put everything in order. Just try and flow with me as I'm going. We'll read a few portions of the scripture so that it will help us get started. Now, in fact, I think I should just give the title that I should give today's message, which is The Cost of Salvation. You may want to write that down. Now, I will start by reading from Matthew chapter 20. I hope you are following me thus far. Actually, I haven't said anything today. I am aware of the fact that I have not said anything. All right, Matthew chapter 20. Then this mother of the sons of Zebedee came to him with her sons, bowing down and making a request. Verse 20. And he said to her, "What do you wish?" She said to him, "Command that in your kingdom these two sons of mine may sit on your right and on your left." Then he said to them, "You do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup I am about to drink?" They said to him, "We are able." And he said to them, "My cup you shall drink, but to sit on my right and on my left, that is not mine to give, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared by my Father." Now, open with me to Philippians chapter 3. What I said before I read these scriptures is just to try and link what we said last week with what we are saying today. And that is that last week we explained that spiritual things are real, if you want, and that they control physical things. Whatever you will get in the physical that we endure must have been founded in the spiritual. Do you understand the point? That is, there is no point trying to get physical results if spiritual things are not cooperating with you. And spiritual forces cooperating to bring results for you is what the Bible actually calls grace. He said, "My grace is sufficient for you." That is, even though your flesh is weak, do you understand? "My power is made perfect in your weakness." That is what is called grace. That is, Paul now said that by the grace of God, I labor more than them all, but not I, the grace of God working with me. That is, what you see is not because I have more physical power, but it appears like I'm exerting more energy. That energy is not mine, but spiritual forces that God had commanded should work in my favor. You understand that point? That's the meaning of the word grace. Now, we're talking about how to get those spiritual forces working on your side. Now, first and foremost, we have read Matthew chapter 20. I want us to now read from Philippians chapter 3. There's something Paul said here which I want us to understand. Paul was explaining, "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord." Now, please, let me jump down to verse 3. He said, "For we are the true circumcision, who worship in the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus, and put no confidence in the flesh." He said, "Although I myself might have confidence even in the flesh, if anyone else has a mind to put confidence in the flesh, I far more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the nation of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the Lord, a law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to the righteousness which is in the law, found blameless." Now, this is where I want to sit. "So for whatever things were gained to me, those things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. More than that, I count all things to be loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them but rubbish in order that I may gain Christ. I may be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his suffering, being conformed to his death. Let me stop there. What I want you to understand, he's saying something here. I counted all the... Now, he first talked about his physical advantages. Are you getting the point? Then he now came on to start to speak about the fact that he deliberately considered those advantages as negative issues. So he cut himself off from those things. Now, what is the reason? He says, so that I may be found in him, not having my own righteousness. He said, what is the advantage? So that I might know him. What is the advantage? That I might get to relate with the power of his resurrection. He says, so that I might attain to the resurrection from the dead. Now, I'm getting to a few points here. Just bear that in mind. I told you that I'm titling today's message, what? The cost of salvation. All right. Now, first, we read from Matthew chapter 20, where we saw that, who are they again? James and John, right? They wanted to sit on the left and on the right of Jesus in his kingdom. First, let's examine that word, left and right. What they were saying is that we want to sit in positions of authority in your kingdom. Do you understand my point? That is, they will literally become his second in command and third in command, respectively. That is, Joseph was a man that was on the right hand of Moses, of Pharaoh. That is, it was the right hand of majesty. You understand? That was where the authority of Pharaoh laid, with Joseph. Now, Jesus was now saying, which is where my emphasis is, that, now notice this, he did not say, there is no place like my right and my left. In fact, he said, it's been prepared. Did you notice that? He said, it's been prepared. He said, but before I answer you on whether you can get there, there is a criterion that you have to fulfill before you even become a candidate. Do you understand my point? Now, let's take it like this. A company advertises for a job, maybe MTN. They need engineers. If you go there with a degree in mechanical engineering, they may not answer you. If you go there with a first class honors in law, they will not answer you. If you go there, you're a pharmacist, they won't answer you. If you go there, you're a doctor, they will not answer you. The first thing is that, do you have a degree in electrical engineering or electronic engineering or a combination of both? Do you understand my point? Now, that does not even guarantee you the job. Are you getting the point? However, for you to even qualify, you have to have that degree. So Jesus was saying there to them in that Matthew chapter 20 that we read, he said, for you to qualify, the first degree is that you must be ready to suffer the same things that I'm going to suffer. You have to suffer, you have to pass through the same things that I will pass through. Now let's go back there. Let's so that we'll get this in clearly. Matthew chapter 20. He said, are you able to drink the cup I am about to drink? That's the summary. What he was saying to them is simple. You are asking for something, you don't even understand what it takes to get there. You understand? He said, you don't know what you're asking for. What you're asking for takes you to drink, because you're asking for the next position's right to me. He said, then you have to pass through the same thing I'm about to pass through. And they said, we are ready for that. And many of you have watched Chinese films those days. When the young boy goes to the master, he wants to learn because somebody killed his father. So he wants to be able to avenge. The father starts training, and the master starts training him. He doesn't just train him all the tricks of Kung Fu, no. First takes the guy to carry weight, you understand? The guy will labor like Jacob for the first 7 years. He won't learn any Kung Fu. In fact, somebody was telling me a story once that the master said, the reason is because I first want to kill that spirit of vengeance in you. With it, you can't learn Kung Fu. Are you following what I'm trying to say? But we're talking about generating spiritual power. So Jesus said to them, you have to pass through certain things before you become a candidate. When they said, we are ready, he said, well, now I'm not even sure you will pass the interview, but at least now you have qualified to even apply for it at all. Now, Paul was now speaking. He said, I had advantages. Now get this point clear. There is what the Bible called the Spirit of Christ. Now, we have explained something in the past, that when the Bible uses the word Spirit, there are two main ways it uses it. Number one, which is the most frequent way it is used, is not as a personality. Now, get this clear. That is why God had to say that who made his angels spirits. That is, angels are personalities, but then he has endued them with so much power that when they go to places, it's a release of energy. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? So he said he made his angels spirits and his ministers flames of fire. That is, when they get there, they are not just people anymore, but they are able to kindle events. Are you understand what I'm trying to say? Now, the most important way, manner in which the word spirit is used in the Bible is not as a personality, but as a force. Now, you see, a lot of times, a lot of Christians are very, very dumb. I'm very sorry to say it, but they don't know anything. You understand? They just argue because this is the position of their church. You understand what I'm trying to say? They don't think. The first time I said this, somebody just, like, no, you're telling the Holy Spirit is not a person. I said, look, see, you don't think. You're not even listening. You understand? As far as we are concerned, Holy Spirit, we have been warned that there are people who say the Holy Spirit is not a person. So you are one of them. You have not even listened to what I am saying. And I was trying to explain to the person that when the Bible says the Spirit of God, he was not talking about the third person that we call the Holy Spirit. That was not what he was talking about. The Spirit of God refers to an extension of the divine power of God. Are you getting the point I am making? And in fact, in the Greek, there are different words that are used sometimes. You understand? To illustrate these things. But people sometimes, they don't want to hear sound doctrine. This is not what they say. My pastor doesn't say it like this. So one day I told somebody one thing. He said, Kenny Higgins said this way. As far as I'm concerned, you are wrong. It doesn't matter whether you can show me scriptures. Kenny Higgins said it this other way. Period. Kenny Higgins is right and you are wrong. She said she didn't want to hear. I still remember the young woman's, I can see her face now. That's when I was in university. Now, let's leave that. Let me come back to what I'm saying and not get distracted. Now, the most important way the word spirit is used in the Bible, therefore, is as a driving force that is inside people. That's why the Bible will talk, last time I gave us a quotation where it said that he will give us the garment of praise instead of the spirit of heaviness. That is, when we go around with the spirit of heaviness, everything we touch seems to have gloom written upon it. Do you understand my point? A number of you here understand some psychology and medicine. You understand when a patient is said to be depressed. A depressed patient cries at this for the slightest excuse. He's looking for his car keys. He starts crying. Why? Because he has the spirit of heaviness. That's the point I'm trying to get across to you. When you talk about the garment of praise instead of the spirit of heaviness, if I can't find my car keys, I give God thanks. I don't ever feel bad. If I'm going on the road and my tire goes, and I just bought the tire yesterday, and you know the cost of brand new tires, and the tire scatters, I look and say, "Shit, I'm still in order. Father, I thank you for this broken tire." That is the garment of praise instead of the spirit of heaviness. The spirit of heaviness is the one that interprets everything as my enemies have finally gotten me. Do you understand my point? Everything is working against me. That is the spirit of heaviness. You get that the door does not open. You are rebuking the demon in the door. What is the problem with demon and your door? In fact, if demon could sit on your door, you have a problem personally. You should go and see God. Leave the demon alone. Let him ride. That's the spirit of what? Heaviness. But the garment of praise is that knocks out the spirit of heaviness. Now, the point I'm making here is this. That spirit of heaviness present in somebody is the reason why he keeps on having that negative reaction to every little situation. Do you understand my point? Now, but somebody who has a spirit of thanksgiving, he has a different attitude. I told us the other time that the most important thing I have noticed in Nigeria of today is that spirit of corruption. Do you understand? So you put a man in office, the first thing he thinks about is what he can get out of the office. He doesn't have that spirit of the servant. That's like, this period I'm going to be here, what will I be able to contribute? Do you understand the point I'm making? Now, let me just stop that, all right, and go on to what I was saying before. I want to say something about the Spirit of Christ. If you read Hebrews, Romans chapter 8, last time I asked my wife, I said, what do you think about last week's message? She said that she really enjoyed it and she was blessed. She came late, she was coming from class, but that anybody that wants to really know it, she has to listen to it again. It's very technical. Now, this thing is going to be a bit technical, please. So if you miss something, just get the tape and listen to it again, because I want to explain some things here. Now, if you go to Hebrews, Romans chapter 8, I know we read two portions of the scriptures which I have not yet finished passing my comments on. I'll just read one verse and stop. Verse 9. However, you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. If indeed the spirit of God dwells in you, but if anyone does not have the spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him. And if Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, yet the spirit is alive, or more correctly, the spirit will give it life because of righteousness. Now, my emphasis here is on that word, the spirit of Christ. Bear it in mind. Now, when we are talking about the spirit of Christ, now I said something earlier, that it is possible to generate spiritual energy. I'll summarize everything I want to say in one sentence. Everything Jesus did on the earth, okay, the result of it was that he generated so much spiritual energy that is called the spirit of Christ. Now, did you hear what I said? That is, everything he did in facing the temptation, in living spotlessly through life, in all the prayers the Bible said he offered with much cries and petition, and that he was heard in that he feared, in everything he did in going to the cross, dying, giving his life as a ransom for many, everything he did up to the resurrection resulted in the generation of a spiritual power that is described simply as the spirit of Christ. Do you understand what I'm going to say? Now remember, I said something earlier, that, see, you can rub a piece of iron against a magnet. The iron itself starts magnetizing. In the same manner, everybody that will get results on the earth, every believer must have been rubbed against Christ Jesus so that he lives there with the spirit of Christ. Do you get the point I'm making? That is, Paul was saying, if you don't have it, you have never related with him, because it's not possible for you to touch him and not tap of that spirit. Do you get me? Now, I'm tying everything I'm saying together. Paul now said this. Jesus said to his disciples, okay, you want to have sat with me so much that the full influence of my power will be manifested in your life? James and John said, yes. He said, good. The criterion is you must drink of the same cup. Are you following me? Okay. That is, if somebody will partake of that spirit of Christ, because listen, maybe I studied physics. I hope I'm not getting too technical. Listen, the spirit of Christ is the ultimate. Let me explain what I'm saying. It's like in speed, physical matter. The fastest speed you can ever achieve in life, potentially, is the speed of light. That's the fastest speed attainable in the physical realm. No matter attains the speed of light. You keep getting closer, but you never actually completely touch it. There is a reason in physics why they explain it like that. But I won't bore us with the details. But just bear in mind, that is the ultimate which you will continue in life to try to achieve. It becomes the guiding star that draws you on. Do you understand my point? That is, somebody having the spirit of Christ is like the iron that have picked from the magnet. It has not really become the magnet. Do you get what I'm trying to say? So if he stops relating with that magnet, he loses all his magnetism. That's why Jesus said the Father has life in itself and has granted the Son to have life in himself, and he gives life to whomsoever he wills. And he said, without me, you can do what? Nothing. Now my physics is making sense now, isn't it? Now get this. So Jesus said, if you want to tap into that spiritual energy, first thing is to drink of the same cup. Now, Paul was explaining later. He said, let the same spirit that was in Christ be in you also. Who, though he had equality with God, but he did not count it something that was supposed to be held onto, but he released himself and became like what? A bond servant. And was obedient unto what? Death. Even death on the cross. He was telling James, do you want this spirit of Christ? No problem. You have to be obedient even unto death. Let me tell you something. I said I'm titling today's message, what? The cost of salvation. Salvation is not free. No, I don't mean somebody paid for it. No. There is payment that is demanded from every individual by God for his salvation. It is not money. Do you understand my point? It is your very life. Listen. He said, Paul, that there was something Paul said, I think Acts chapter 20. Open to Acts chapter 20. You will understand when we examine these things why Paul has so much power about him that the devils will say, we have heard about Paul. Now, get my point. Derek Prince was explaining something once. He said that when the sons of Sceva tried to cast out that demon, can you remember the story in the book of Acts? He said I was listening to Derek Prince. He was examining the Greek words used. They said that Jesus we know, and Paul we know also. You know, they said, come out of him in the name of Jesus that Paul preaches. They said, Jesus we know, and Paul we know. Derek Prince was explaining the Greek. He said, what they were saying is that Jesus we are personally conversant with. You understand? We know of him. We know him. You know, we've been there, you know. But he said, Paul, we have been informed about, we have heard, in effect, of what he has been doing in our kingdom. We have not met him personally, but the news of his work has reached us. Are you getting my point? Now, they had never really met Paul personally, the demons. But they understood that, one of my cousin demons, I know him, is my personal devil. No, you're my personal person. This is my personal devil. Last week, I suddenly saw him in the devil's bar. I said, what happened to your house? He said, one Paul checked me out of there. Are you getting my point? Devils will come from regions of Asia. They will say, where are you people coming from? I thought you guys were the principalities in this area. He said, there was one Paul that arrived. Carrying the spirit of Christ, he has finished everything. So the demon said to the sons of Sceva, you want to harass us with this Paul, eh? Okay. Before he gets us, we'll get you first. Now, I'm explaining something. That Paul had that spiritual power running in his life. Do you understand my point? But how did he achieve it? I said we should open somewhere. Okay, Acts chapter 20. I want to read just one verse. From verse 22. He said, let me just read the one verse so I don't waste time. He said, verse 24. But I do not consider my life as any account of any account as dear to myself, in order that I might finish my course and the ministry I received from the Lord Jesus to testify solemnly of the gospel of the grace of God. Now, what I want you to notice here is this. He said, I do not consider my life of any account as dear to myself. Don't forget. What about Jesus? He said he became obedient to what? Death on the cross. He said he was obedient to the point of death. That is, he did not count his life of any value as dear unto himself. But he was ready to lay down his life just to do the will of the Father. Do you get my point? So he was telling James and John, you want spiritual power? My brother, this is number one. You have to drink this same cup. Are you relating with me what I'm saying? That is, Paul. Now, let's go back to Paul. Where were we reading Paul from earlier? Philippians chapter 3. Now, the story about Jesus that we've been saying is in Philippians chapter 2, where Paul was describing the attitude that was also in Christ Jesus. But let me just go down to, that's what Paul was saying earlier. He said that, I had all these advantages, counting from verse 4. He said, if anybody might have confidence even in the flesh, I have more reasons. These are my advantages. He said, but so that I might gain Christ, I have to forsake all these advantages. Do you understand the point I'm making? That is, these are the things that I gave up, which became, in my own words, now that I am me preaching now, became his payment for his salvation. Now listen, the payment for your salvation that I'm talking about is everything you lose so that you might be pleasing to God. Do you understand the point I'm making? That is, Jesus looked at the rich young ruler. He said, you want eternal life.
You want spiritual energy that will give you life everywhere you go. He said, for you, drop everything that you have. Now you can imagine that if he was a beggar, he would gladly drop down his stick and drop down his plate and follow the Lord Jesus. You understand? That is, sometimes it appears like some people are advantaged. Take the words of Jesus. He said, blessed are the poor. You understand the point I'm going to make now. That is, because they don't have anything, it is easy to lay down their lives at the feet of the cross. Are you getting my point? But to the rich man, Jesus said, how difficult it is for him to enter into the kingdom. Why? Because there is a payment a man will make for him to have any spiritual value with the Father. That there is something he will do physically that he will deny himself of. The more he has, the more difficult the thing is. Are you getting the point I am making? But Jesus said, listen, there is no other way to get this spiritual energy. Now, don't forget where I started with. Now, there was something I said to us some time ago. I don't know whether, if you were there, then whether you can remember. I was talking about how to tap into blessings. And that is the same thing I'm sharing now, but I just want to link it with what we have discussed in the past. That you see, on this earth, talking about blessing now, God always has two examples for everything. One example always is Christ Jesus. The other one is another person that has worked with God closely. Do you understand my point? Let me give you a very good example. For example, Abraham was always the example of marriage. Apart from that, it is Christ and the church. Do you get my point? For example, Job was a sign of suffering. Apart from that, it is Christ on the cross. Do you get what I'm trying to say? It's a pattern in the scriptures. Now, before you tap into anybody's blessing, you must do the same work that the person did. Now, listen to me. I am not preaching a gospel of work. But James said, the only way your faith is demonstrated is by its work. Do you understand my point? That is, it is not possible for a man to say he has faith if he doesn't have any work to show for it. Take Abraham, for example. We're talking about this spiritual power. Abraham was the type that could suspend judgment. That's spiritual energy. Until he was ready. Abraham was the type that could call out because of the mercy he had in God's presence. He could deliver Lot out of Sodom and Gomorrah. But listen, such things are based first, listen, most importantly on faith. But that faith is always expressed in their works. And that work is what we call the cost of their salvation. Abraham was an important man. Was a great man, I believe, because his name was exalted father, Abraham. And God came to him and said, depart from your father's house, from all your kindred, you will go to a place where you don't know anybody. You see, sometimes it's hard for us to relate with what God is saying, was saying to them. It was not a simple decision to take. Now, tell people to take it, they won't. In the days of Jesus, people refuse to acknowledge what God did for them because they don't want to leave the synagogue. You read the story of the man that was born blind? How did he see? His parents said, he's of age, ask him. And the Bible said, why? They were afraid to testify. Why? Because they will be cast out of the synagogue. I mean, look. Now, imagine it. This is just synagogue. Not the market. Not their businesses. Not their workplaces. Just the synagogue. Yet. And now listen. This is not what God will do. What they saw him do. He healed their own child that was born blind. I told you of the story of one man in my place who said he saw they called him after one anointing just descended upon him heavily. People knocked on his door and said, please come and see this child. He went there. This child had been discharged from UCH, completely paralyzed. And he went to the home, a young girl, and he began to pray. As he said, in the name of Jesus, the child jumped into the air and landed on the floor. Everybody ran. He, the preacher, ran. He said he had reached the staircase when he realized that, what am I doing? So he ran back to the place picked the child up and put the child back on the bed and went home. Let me cut the story short. He returned and prayed. After about 2 days, that child became perfectly well. 2 or 3 days. The child became perfectly well. He added his story like this. Says, since that day, he never saw this child's parents to even come and say thank you, which is very godly. God expects them to have come to see the man to say thank you. Why? They were Muslims. Now, these things are real. Yet you tell Abraham, leave your father. People are not ready to leave. Look, if a Muslim left Islam, in the place where I grew up, half of the town are Christian. So just come to the Christian side. And this is South. Muslim and Christians don't fight in the South. It's in the North they fight. Yet he wasn't ready to do that. Now listen, let's go back to Abraham. God said, leave your father's house. Leave everybody. Leave your kindred, leave all your relatives, come to a land that I will show you. That is, you cannot even give them your address as you are leaving. You don't get the point. He couldn't even say, okay, now, guys, I'm leaving Lagos, but when I get to Enugu, I will call you. There's nothing like that. He said, come to a land. When we get there, I will tell you this is the land. Become a nomad. Be moving up and down anyhow. And the Bible said, Abraham departed. Listen to me. That was the cost of his salvation. He departed by faith. Now, what I mean is that the reason why he left was because of his faith. But if he did not leave, he did not have any faith. That's what James was explaining. That, listen, it was their works that cooperated with their faith so that we have a testimony that indeed they had faith. Are you following what I'm trying to say? So the Lord was telling them, you have to what's the opposite of love? I don't want to use the word hate. Okay, let's hate. No, dislike is not good enough. I mean, you have to dislove, you know, your life unto death before you get ready for the kingdom. Do you understand what I'm going to say? That is what qualifies you for it. And listen, I was explaining something about Abraham, all right, and Job and all that, okay, about examples. How to tap into blessings. Now, if you see anybody in the scriptures that did something and got a blessing as a result, take Job for example. There's what I call the sufferings of Job. That be like this. There is what the suffering of Job typifies for every believer. Take Job for example. He suffered so much at the end, God restored to him double. Alright? Now, God's desire, therefore, well, not therefore, but as a fact, is to have that double blessing from Job, of Job, all right, on every believer. There is a spirit. Now, I'm talking about, don't forget what we're talking about, the power of the spirit. There is a spirit that God commands upon you, that follows you around, that causes you to get double blessing everywhere you go. It's the spirit of Job. You know, last year I was talking about the spirit of Job, the spirit of Joseph. It's the spirit of Job. But anyone that will get it, Jesus said what? Has to first drink of the cup of Job. Now listen, there is no two ways about it. You don't drink the cup of Job, you don't get the spirit of Job. Now remember I said something last time, that this is just an example, that is when you put somebody's name to something. What we are just saying is that this is the spirit of God. You understand? But the only way we can describe spiritual things is to use what? Physical things. It said, the eternal glory of God was made known in the things that are made. You cannot relate with God if you don't relate with something physical. You get my point? It is not possible to say that. That's why James said that. How can you say you love God that you don't see? When you don't love your brother, your sister beside you that you can see, that is the love that you claim to have for an invisible God can only be demonstrated in the love for his visible church, for your visible neighbor. Do you get my point? So when we're talking about the spirit of God also, the way you describe it, look, God always has an identity. You know, forget Jehovah's Witness that said that the name, the baptismal name of God is Jehovah. You know, Jehovah's Witnesses, the day God was born and was baptized, they christened him Jehovah. You know, those things. They didn't say it like that, but they said that the proper name of God, if you want to write a letter to heaven, you have to put Professor, Doctor, Mrs., Mr., Miss Jehovah before you know it's God's own.
Now, they didn't use the prophet, but they are telling you that God's property, like you call me Banky now, you know, that God's name is Jehovah. That's what they preach. That's nonsense, you know, it's senselessness. If you know, if you have any concept of what God as a person represents, you cannot insult him with that kind of statement.